This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including the book Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and right in your children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
A second grader who pointed a pencil and made shouting noises in a Suffolk, Virginia elementary school is the latest to be suspended in zero-tolerance gun incidents. Although the teacher wrote on the suspension notice, "I told him to stop, and he did," she nevertheless reported the incident to the next level, and the principal suspended the 7-year-old and his fellow pencil-wielding classmate for 2 days. A school representative said, "A pencil is a weapon when it is pointed at someone in a threatening way and gun noises are made." Despite community outrage at this silly reaction by the school, school administrators continue to defend their actions. The father of the suspended boy is a Marine Corps veteran. He said his son is a good student and never had any discipline problems. His son told him, "Well, I was pretending to be a Marine and the other guy was being a bad guy." In other zero-tolerance nonsense, some educators around the country are being scared by plastic Hello Kitty bubble guns, Pop-Tarts bitten into something like the shape of a gun, and toy World War II soldiers on top of cupcakes. Some parents say that zero-tolerance policies enforced without common sense make a mockery of the real issue of school safety. Stripping little boys of their masculine tendency to engage in military play is harmful, not helpful. When school administrators take zero tolerance to these extremes, they become fear-mongering strangers to common sense, rather than responsible adults looking out for the safety of all students. And it's not just boys who are the victims of zero-tolerance silliness. In a California school, an 11-year-old girl was suspended for doing cartwheels and handstands during lunchtime.
Has your son or daughter expressed frustration with the liberal ideology and anti-Christian propaganda on their college campus? Encourage any students you know to join Phyllis Schlafly and other conservative leaders in Washington, D.C. on July 18 and 19 for the annual Eagle Forum Collegian Summit. The conference is free to students who register in advance at eagleforum.org. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
John Stettmiller here. Gives me great pleasure to welcome our new sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They are a veteran-owned, Christian-based preparedness company. I know the owner, and I can tell you they share the same ideals and values that we do. From quality long-term food to self-defense and camping supplies, they have what you need to prepare. Great wholesale pricing, quality products, the best customer service. You just can't go wrong. One example, they have a one-year food package that includes GMO-free vegetables and fruit, plus real meat like roast beef and chicken breast. Over 2,000 calories a day for $19.95. Not your run-of-the-mill carb bucket like a lot of them out there. From stun guns, batons, tents, gas masks, chemical suits, the list goes on and on. One thing you'll learn over time is value is defined by quality plus price. You get that value with AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Tell them that John sent you and receive a free knife with your order today.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must keep America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller, with you on this Tuesday. And I do believe the old atomic clock on the wall is telling me it's the 20th of August, 2013. Now, generally, on this day, this is the third Tuesday of this month, we usually have somebody else on this program. But we don't have that person on today. They've been rescheduled for next Thursday. Instead, I have Clint Richardson in studio. Very glad to have him on board. How you doing, Clint?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we did a little schedule arrangement here, rearrangement. And I'm glad to do this because I've had a hard time ever getting a hold of you. And we've been able to sit down and have lunch and do a face-to-face and compare the notes on what has happened to us, you know, kind of dropping in to see what condition our condition is in. And it ain't real good. Most of you folks out there may have heard him on Deanna Spingola's program. You may recognize the man from his works, Corporation Nation, which is a very, very good informational documentary to watch because it explains the structure of the country. What you did while you were out there working for your 40 hours or whatever, building your life, your business, what the lawyers and the politicians were up to steal everything out from under you and to maintain control of it. It's the Corporation Nation. The government is a corporation, whether it be state or federal. Ta-da! Why do you think, what was it, Mitt Romney? How many months ago said something to the effect that, well, your corporations are citizens?
Corporations are people too. I mean, basically, right? Yeah, it's
yeah.
Corporations have to have rights. They have to have a voice, and that's the scary thing is when you start assigning human traits to a piece of paper, which is, again, it's a state, it's a city, it's a county, it's a school district. When you start giving certain, what we like to call inalienable rights to corporations, you've just, I mean, you're ushering in everything from biometrics to transhumanism at that point. I mean, you're paving the way to actually take away or equalize rights among living and non-living, sentient and non-sentient beings.
Wait a minute, Clint. If I remember correctly, they're already doing it. What you're saying is they're seeking to legitimize it.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, they have a funny way of doing this. We've got this wonderful idea, and we're going to start this. And, oh, by the way, later on down the road, we got to find a place to plug this in to make it legitimate. Unfortunately, it's not legitimate. People used to, and I don't know, Clint, if you're old enough to remember these days, people used to actually work for companies their entire working lives and then retire from that company. But it wasn't a corporation, it was a company. It was a company that was rooted in communities or cities, and there was this bond between the people that provided the jobs and the people that worked the jobs for the companies. It was kind of an interesting arrangement that worked rather well for a long time, but evidently not so much with corporations.
Well, you know, I am, of course, you know, I'm 41 years old, and I've grown up in a time, unfortunately, where that type of relationship, where you have an entire town based around a corporation, yeah, it still exists, but not in the way that you're referring to. I've never seen that, me personally. I didn't grow up in that type of atmosphere. Now, my father was a captain in the Air Force, so I grew up on the, you know, with access to the military base.
You grew up on a reservation.
Yeah, I was born on one, in fact. So the concept, basically, how that changed is so, so important. And I'm out of my element here. I don't have my little computers, you know, my basement set up at home here. So I'm running on the fly. But when we're talking about what happened to that structure, you know, you have companies like Hershey, which identified itself not as Hershey, but as Hershey, Pennsylvania, right? You come, you want to visit where Hershey chocolates are made, you go to Pennsylvania. And the CEO at the time, of course, when companies go public, that's when everything changes, because that's when government and institutional holders come in and grab up all the stock. When you check your funds, like the Vanguard Fund and these huge investment funds, you're going to find that the major shareholders in that are government. They call these institutional holders. Your pension funds are the main holder in most corporations. And unfortunately, most economists do not talk about that. And it's a very important part of the economy, because technically, government then becomes part of the economy. And so what happens when Hershey, Pennsylvania is suddenly, well, it's paying higher wages because it's an American company. What happens when government then says, well, as the big shareholder in your company, we'd like you to move to Mexico, and we're going to offer you a corporate bond to do so. It's a very low interest loan that we're going to give out of some pension fund. And we're going to basically say that you're going to move to Mexico. And if you don't, we're going to put a lot of pressures on your corporation until you do. That's what happens to companies like Hershey, Pennsylvania. We have a government that's not interested in creating an economic well-being in our own country. We have a government who establishes itself, builds up economies in Mexico and China with our taxpayer dollars, which it invests, and then blames the fact that American jobs go to Mexico and to China and to Russia and to all these countries that are being built up. Meanwhile, it's the one, of course, that is funding the move for these corporations. And for those who don't know what a corporate bond is, it's so important that you just go to any of your pension funds in your state, and you're going to see that most of the taxpayer dollars that go into these pension funds to support them go to what are called corporate bonds, which, again, is a low-interest loan to corporations. It's a very, very intricate web that is, unfortunately, it's behind the scenes. Nobody seems to know it's happening, and yet it's the cause of everything that has happened up until this point. And that is what changed. In my opinion, that is what changed the good old boy, you know, corporations that made up the town. You know, what happened in Detroit should be obvious. when a company goes public, government comes in, grabs those shares, it's fair game at that point.
Well, you mean like they did with General Motors? Yeah, that they still, I think they're still the major shareholder in GM.
Well, and it goes beyond that because you're talking about General Motors. General Motors paid no federal income taxes in 2010. Why would a government seek to not have a company like General Motors that makes everything from bombs to cars, you know, everything? Why would a government not wish to seek federal taxes from such a massive corporate entity?
Because it was in so much trouble, they had to bail them out, but they had to put it on the American taxpayer. I'll tell you what, we got to take a break here. I want to return to exactly what you're talking about. Funny, I'll never think of Hershey Kisses or their chocolate Sirpal the same way again. Hershey, Pennsylvania. Here's a guy that grew up in Pennsylvania, folks, and I do remember the Hershey story, but he is correct. Hershey, the way you used to lovingly think about it, well, they basically gave you the kiss off.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit. The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
The Corporation Nation, folks, it's okay. It's all about business, man. It's all about the business in hand. And after all, isn't that the job of government? I mean, if you listen to Obama, they are pleading and begging and, well, Mr. Obama, you said you're going to add jobs to this economy. You know, after you got done blaming George Bush for it.
Well, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Who in the heck got it in their heads that the government is supposed to create jobs?
they don't create anything. The only thing I ever see them do is suck up the labors of people by way of taxation and threat and coercion.
Well, yeah, I mean, to me, if a politician came to me and said, "Hi, my platform is to create jobs," I'm like, okay, well, I'm not voting for you. Period, end of story, because that means you're going to need taxpayer money to pay for those jobs. You can't create jobs unless you're willing to admit that you're the primary owner in all these corporations out there and that you're going to do something about it. But as a government, hey, let's just face it, a government cannot create jobs unless it's paying taxpayer money to support those jobs.
Well, after all, I mean, we all remember the sing-song that they did bailing out General Motors. What did they say? This is a business that's too big to fail. If it fails, well, then we have failed as a country, as a nation. Now, how is that possible? Because I used to work for General Motors. General Motors failed, and they're most identified in the car industry, but you're exactly right. They build many, many other things. But GM failed. Well, GM failed as a car maker years before that. That's why they were in the position they were. You know, the interesting thing about this, out of Chrysler, General Motors, and Ford, Ford saw this stuff coming. Ford was smart enough to dump its inventory so it didn't have it sitting around. They got all the cash that they could pull in because they knew it was coming. General Motors, were they too big to fail or too big to do anything, get out of their own way? Chrysler, they had already been there and done that. Lee Iacocca did it with the federal government. Hey, we need a bailout. Many people were against it then. It's not the government's job to bail out private corporations, but it is the job of corporations to help other corporations, isn't it?
Well, it's the job of the shareholders of corporations. Let's face it, a corporation, its main purpose in life is to make a profit for its shareholders.
Sure.
Okay, so just the fact that a government can own 10 shares in any private corporation should be a major, major red flag for anybody, because that instantly shows a conflict of interest. I mean, you can take any industry you want. You can take the Exxon Valdez spill, for instance. Is government going to rush out and spend billions and billions or even trillions of dollars cleaning up the environment because one of these corporations, of which it is a massive, massive shareholder, just to give you for example, CalPERS, and when you look at the CalPERS report, it actually lists all of its stock investment, and it's a very, very long report. It had, I believe in Exxon alone, it had $1.2 billion worth of stock invested in Exxon. Just one pension fund. That's among all the other thousands upon thousands of corporations. In Citibank, it was about just as much. So when you're talking about the banking industry, when you're talking about the oil industry, when you're talking about the pharmaceutical, the medical, every industry out there, you have government. I can't stress this enough. This point is, it's a shareholder, if not the main shareholder, when we collectively consider all the 230,000 governments in America, plus all of the foreign governments, who all have pension funds, who all have Social Security now. Social Security is one of my pet peeves because it's in over 130 countries now. Okay, it's run by the International Social Security Administration. Just go to Wikipedia and look that up. So it's the international mark of the beast, I like to call it, or the number of the beast. You're talking about massive, massive, massive investment funds here. Social Security is literally an insurance scheme. When you look up what a pension fund is, the word is a scheme. That's how they describe it. So all of this ownership in corporations means that as a shareholder, government is also in the position to vote as a shareholder. Just like any of Bill Gates owns 1% or 2% of Microsoft. The rest, 76% of that company is institutionally held. Okay, that means government, mostly. I mean, there's other institutional holders. The point being that those institutional holders are who runs that corporation. Your Bill Gates, your Warren Buffett, all of these people are the CEOs, but that doesn't make them owners in any way, shape, or form.
That's like Mike Dell down here in Round Rock, Texas.
All of them. Yeah. Every corporation is like, there's few exceptions where we take the Walmart family that still, I believe, owns 51% of their shares. You know, how they were able to do that, I don't understand. But that doesn't mean that government is still not, you know, in that extra 40% of shares. And that obviously doesn't mean that Walmart is not going to get It's share of corporate bonds. Every time you see a Walmart expanding, where do you think that money is coming from? Okay, the money is in the public. It's not in the private sector. So when you said it's not government's job to regulate the corporate industry to make sure that companies are too big to fail, you know, make sure that they won't fail. Well, if you think about it, all of this is really taking place in the stock market. The stock market is a series of private corporations. Okay, you can call it government if you want, but really the NASDAQ, all of these are private corporations that are also on the stock market being traded, and government is the main institutional holder of the shares of those corporations. That's the stock market. So it's almost tough to even say that we have government anymore in the capacity that we've grown up believing what government is. It's a public thing. Well, everything is private at this point.
Yeah.
Every law that we follow, the Bar Association, that's a private association. The Medical Association, that's a private association. It's private law. It's not government.
And we recognize Glass-Steagall. That was dumped by George Bush Senior, I do believe that was. Billy Clinton started it. It was George Bush that initiated it and made it a reality. Glass-Steagall disappeared. Then we had the banks. Well, now all of a sudden, instead of we have investment banks that are out there now investing God knows what. And let's do a little thing with real estate, and let's do a little thing with that. What they were prevented from doing before, they were now allowed to do. And Daddy Bush also did another thing, the privatization through executive order. Mm-hmm. Right in front of God and all his people. I've got the document around here someplace.
1-1-803?
Something like that. 1-1-803, I think it is. But in front of God and all his people, he says, we're going to privatize. And mm-hmm. what this means is heretofore that whatever you slaves, I mean you taxpayers out there, notice they really don't refer to you as being shareholders, more of a taxpayer. They always like doing that. But he said that, look, this is what we're going to do. Anything that you paid for before, whether it be the roads, whether it be the bridges, whether it be the schools, the prisons, the bridges, the infrastructure, all of it, we now have the ability to sell that off to private individuals.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it goes beyond that. You know, I remember reading about the prison industry and how that worked. And there were 48, I think it was all the, you know, minus Alaska and minus Hawaii. I think it was the 48 states here. All signed an agreement as far as the privatization structure of the prison industry. And they signed an agreement that basically said, we agree to keep your prisons when you build them, the private prison industry, we'll keep those at 90% capacity. In other words, we will fill whatever prison you build, we will guarantee to fill that prison to 90% capacity. Now, I want you to think about what that actually means. If I'm giving you a guarantee to fill a prison to 90% of the capacity with taxpayers, what does that mean?
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we come for you? We're gonna make a law that you're gonna break that will put your butt in prison. Boy, what a system. We'll be back.
The AK-47 is known for being tough and battle-ready. Now you can be battle-ready with tough tactical gear from StrikeHardGear.com. Made in the USA, StrikeHardGear.com specializes in mil-spec quality tactical gear for your AK-47, SKS Mosin-Nagant, and other Russian-style weapons. Visit StrikeHardGear.com to find chest rigs, buttstock pouches, bandoliers, shoulder bags, and other one-of-a-kind pieces of specialty gear you won't find anywhere else. Tough as nails and affordable. Buy with confidence from StrikeHardGear.com with our no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee. After that, run it hard because you're backed by a lifetime replacement warranty. Use the discount code RBN and get 5% off your order. Pull the trigger on StrikeHardGear.com today. Strike Hard Gear.
Yeah.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
We are back. We were just funny what you talk about during a commercial break. We were just discussing Steven Spielberg and the people seated in this room right now that refuse to see it. Am I the only one that saw this movie?
Hey, some of us have standards.
I think I just got insulted. No, that's okay. No, I have to because somebody.
You have to see what your enemy is doing.
Somebody has to do it. So there I am with my wife seated in the theater, and half of the movie is about Mr. Lincoln, we need a 13th Amendment, knowing full well that there was already a 13th Amendment. Now, I understand that Lincoln was a Republican and a lawyer, so I guess he pretty much had to get rid of the original 13th Amendment because that prohibited him. Oh, it said in the missing 13th Amendment, we found it, folks. It said, if any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor, bar card carrying attorneys included, or shall, without the consent of Congress, accept and retain any present pension, office, or emolument of any kind whatsoever.
Payment.
From any emperor, king, prince, or foreign power, Such persons shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding any office or trust or profit under them or either of them.
And that was 1810, is that right?
Well, actually, probably. But so, they dumped it at about 1865-something, plus something.
Yeah, there was a couple of guys who went to, I can't remember which law library they went to, but they actually looked through all of the, instead of looking, trying to look through it in the federal, you know, aspect, they looked at the state to see when each
right.
state actually, you know, ratified it.
Right.
And they found all of them, and they pointed to the old law books that were pre-1850 or so,
mm-hmm.
and they found where each state had ratified that original 13th Amendment. And that was the best evidence I've ever seen.
Yeah, Virginia ratified the 13th Amendment on March 10th, 1819. That completed the 13 states required to ratify an amendment. Virginia Legislature Act number 260, Virginia Archives of Richmond, file page 299. It's on microfiche, by the way. It was published by printing 4,000 copies, triple the usual number, with instructions to send a copy to President James Monroe, James Madison, and Thomas Jefferson. I'm sorry, to President James Monroe, and a copy to James Madison and Thomas Jefferson. Rhode Island, Maine, Ohio, Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, Colorado. It was all there.
And I can only assume that that was to amend the, I can't remember, it's article something that already says that title nobilities are not accepted. I can't remember what section that is right now.
It was 13. I think it was 13. It actually replaced article 13, the 13th Amendment to the Constitution.
Which is just was not adequate enough.
Well, I mean, if you, I even heard rumor that Abraham Lincoln's real name was Springsteen.
Springsteen.
Well, what's another one amongst friends? But at any rate, yeah, I mean, this stuff, you know, is this important stuff to know? It sure as hell is entertaining. Would you, knowing that, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. America listening to the radio program today, is it going to change anything? Probably not. But it's necessary to understand where we have been, how things have been changed. Because do you think any of this highfalutin stuff, Clint, could have been done? I mean, what was it, a 3,000-page Obamacare that Nancy Pelosi said, well, we're just going to have to pass it so you all can read it to find out what's in it. Wait a minute. That's not the way this is supposed to work.
And yet it is the way it works. That's the fallacy that I think probably upsets me most is the fallacy that, but wait a minute, it's not constitutional, or wait a minute, that's not how things are supposed to work. And it's as if we just ignore it, as if, well, it happened, but it really didn't, because it can't happen. It's kind of strange. It's the way we react to things. It's like we suffer into our little shells and don't want to acknowledge that we're in the midst of debt slavery.
Yeah.
And depression and depression and everything else.
Oh, by the way, David M. Dodge and Tom Dunn were the two researchers that traveled all around the country to dig that stuff out of those moldy, dusty old archives.
I remember putting them on and praising them for doing so.
Yeah. And this is important stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong, that how we came about as a country, what happened to us, what we morphed into, there is direct correlation to why these were important events. You know, I mean, Reconstruction, that had to happen. The 14th Amendment, that had to happen to have all this federalism that we see. We had to concentrate the power. We had, well, when I say we, I don't mean you, Mr. Indian, but we had to necessarily do this. It was for the good of the nation. After all, we had to continue. We had to endure. This was President Lincoln's, the Union must survive. Well, it did. Yeah, after you just threw it in a blender and flipped it on like you're mixing a drink. They just morphed it all together and spit it all out, and there you are. Here's the new Union.
It was like it's very similar to a corporate takeover, where the corporation keeps the same name, but it doesn't mean the same thing. I mean, that's basically what you had then. You had a case where And it's actually celebrated, which is the funny part, in Georgia, where they kicked out all of the lawfully elected congressmen and the governor and replaced them with military men, generals and colonels, and called that a legitimate government. This was, of course, after the Civil War, after the, what do they call it, the restructuring?
The Reconstruction Act.
Reconstruction, yeah. 13th, 14th, 15th
yep.
Amendments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, geez, how we got to the point, this is what I don't understand, is how we got to the point where our schools are teaching such nonsense, and we feel that we still have a duty to send our children into these indoctrination centers. That's the real kicker for me.
Because it's not a mystery to me, Clint. You and I should talk more often, because if you're going to run a nation under the communist philosophy, well, then you have to do that. As a matter of fact, that's one of the planks of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, is a government-run school to use, and I quote, to be used as a transmission belt for the propaganda.
Along with the central bank and everything else. We got 10 planks are obviously already enforced.
Yes.
They're already law, and that's a very frightening concept.
Well, but now we're starting to see it culturally. We're starting to see people like Obama and the Nancy Pelosi. I mean, isn't Mayor Bloomberg in New York, isn't he a gas? Now, here's a guy that's exercising the power that was never really meant for a governor or a mayor of a city, period. That he declares and decries that large soft drinks are the bane of civilization. Or that, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what crackpot thing he comes out with. But it's about that control. This whole thing was about limiting control over people. And somehow, that got out of control. Chris in Las Vegas. Hello, Chris. Do I have Chris here? Are you listening to the program? Okay, Mr. Producer. Chris in Las Vegas. Uh-huh, you had your monitor down. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Well.
Finally.
Hello.
Yes. Chris. He dropped. What, did he dial the wrong number? Did he think he was the Roto-Rooter man or what? Okay, anyhow. Hey, I love live radio. It's working without a net. It's always thrilling. You know, never know where you're going to land and splat. At any rate, all of these things. Is it important? Yeah, I would say that it is.
It's important to understand the fraud. You can't understand the fraud without understanding the background of the fraud and how it was implemented. You cannot have such a fraud. You cannot have a government that we have today, which is a series of private associations writing laws so that Congress can rubber stamp those laws and be wined and dined by those, you know, groups like ALEC and all of these groups that basically we have a series of laws, and they're not laws, they're actually copyrighted materials that we call law for some reason, and we acknowledge them as laws, we consent to them as laws. We participate in the courts and the medical industry and all these, and we pretend that they are governmentally, you know, created, and they're not. That's the scary part about it. All of this is private law, private associations that could never have happened without the reorganization, the restructuring of America.
Man, I know this is a lot for the common man out there to absorb and understand. At what point do they just want to hit the cutoff switch and, okay, enough. I don't need to hear any more. Yes, you do, to keep it from happening again once we find a solution as to what happened to us in the first place.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com has solutions. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent,
If you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
I've got Chris back from Vegas. I'm going to invite people to go to the website, thecorporationnation.com. This is where Clint Richardson, he's not selling anything. So I guess I'll never hear him say on this program or any other network or anybody else's other radio programs, buy my video! Buy my video! Because he's not selling them. They are for free. Go to CorporationNation.com and all the stuff is there for download. And you explained that you did Corporation Nation, but that's what, 2 hours? Or...
I think it's about 3 hours, actually.
3 hours, yeah. But then there was part two that was 4 hours.
Well, yeah, part two is called The Great Pension Fund Hoax, and it's all about the pension system. And, the pension system, unfortunately, is where all the money's, where government puts most of its money. It's a great excuse to take a bunch of taxpayer money and to basically pretend like it's for the people or for the employees to pay their benefits, when in fact it's a massive, massive power base, you know, a place where government can use the equity of all its investments to do anything it wants, basically.
Well, whose investments? Government or the individual? That the government.
Yeah, and see, that's what I try to explain in here is you got to understand that the reason that there's such a bureaucracy, the reason that government likes to create such a bureaucracy in government, to create so many employment positions in government, to create jobs, if you will, is because for each of those employees, it puts either in the pension system or Social Security. So it's either way, it's getting money. But the more people you can get into the pension system, the more money you can charge taxpayers. So you start at the top levels, like with judges, for instance. They are on what's called a non-contributory system. That means they don't put a penny into the pension system. That means it's all taxpayer money that goes into an investment fund to pay for the investments that will eventually pay the returns to pay the judge's retirement. What does that mean? Oh, and then if you go to the lower levels, your teachers and stuff like that, they are matching, right? You've heard of matching funds. Well, who's matching? Government. Who's government? Taxpayer money,
mm-hmm.
Right? So the more employees you can have in government, the more money, taxpayer money, you can put into the pension system. Okay, when I looked at the totals for the amount of money that they put into education on the federal level and the money that they put into federal pensions, the taxpayer money into federal pensions was higher than the education, Department of Education, the appropriations.
Hmm.
Okay, higher than defense when you break it down. So it's really incredible, over $1 trillion that's going to pay pensions. Okay, so that's all taxpayer money. Anything that the employees put in, they still have equity in that money. In other words, if they quit their job or are fired, they can still claim and get that original money that they put into it. But that's very little of the full pension scheme because most pensions, unfortunately, are paid through taxpayer money, mostly taxpayer money. I go through the entire structure of CAFRs in that video, the Great Pension Fund Hoax, and show that each pension fund is funded by taxpayer money. And it's just this, I would have never thought that was true. I couldn't imagine that that's what pension funds were, just a big power base for government. So what we're saying is you have the option to contribute money to the pension system as an employee. But if the pension system or the state, for instance, declares bankruptcy tomorrow, you have no right to that money. The word contribution is a very important word because it means to give away, to put into to the trust of someone else. You have no right to that money if we're talking about a bankruptcy situation.
So when we hear the government make little words like, well, we think we have to take over the pension accounts to protect them. They're actually saying that we're just going to take it because if there's any remaining wealth, that's ours and not yours.
Got to protect the children. It's all about the children, right?
Yeah.
No, all of that money that you see, that's the $230-something billion that's sitting in just the CalPERS pension fund and the $220 billion that's sitting in the California Teachers Fund and the Texas Fund with $180 billion, that basically amounts to taxpayer money that's been put in there. Stock being purchased, and it's everything. If you go through the reports, it's everything from stock to real estate. I mean, you might be living in an apartment building that government already owns,
mm-hmm.
and that's the truth of the matter. So foreign currencies, government takes taxpayer money and changes that into wealth, real wealth, real property, gold, silver, currencies, a big cornucopia of foreign currencies, so that no matter what the dollar does, government is hedged against that in its pension system big time. And if you go to the holdings reports of, say, or the investment earnings reports or whatever in the CalPERS pension fund or New York or Texas, you'll see exactly how much. You'll be shocked at what you see. And I constantly give links to those just so people can understand where the money is. And it's all in the public sector through the pension system.
Now, folks, do you realize why I've been on such a tear when we've got these supposed? Now, you may not listen to Sean Hannity. You may not listen to Glenn Beck. I personally can't stand the man. I wished I would have had a career that was immersed in alcohol and drugs, and then I got the silver spoon, and I saw God, and I became a Mormon. You know, what a story. And great story, yeah. The reason I'm pointing this out is because the information that we're providing on this network I mean, are you listening to this? Are you going to have the guy, who's the guy that does the credit card shows? Think of his name here in a second. Yeah. Thanks, guys, for your help. Anyhow, gets up there. Well, you know, if you own credit card debt, you know, you got to pay those credit cards down.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know, yeah. But, you know, do you ever hear the conversation that we're having right now? No, they don't want to have that. Why? What is the big fear of people realizing and understanding this, Clint Richardson? It's our stuff, isn't it?
Well, if people knew what credit card debt actually was, they'd stop paying it. I mean, if you knew what your mortgage actually was and that it has nothing to do with your home, you'd stop paying your mortgage. But, you know, how do you it would take a whole show to go through the banking industry and how that actually works, that the loans are basically a credit that is being created at the inception of the loan. They're every application. You know why you get so many applications in the mail? You know, credit card after credit card, even though you're like, you know, I have no credit or I have the worst credit in the world. Why are they sending me applications? Well, heck, I'm going to go ahead and fill it out. Even if it's only going to be $1,000, I might get a credit card. They're monetizing the applications. Okay, your Social Security application is monetized. That's why if you want to get out of the Social Security administration, if you want to stop being the slave who gets benefits in lieu of being a slave, and you want to get out of the Social Security administration, there's only one solution. And I say that to everything. Anybody who asks, well, what's the solution? Look up the word solution, folks. Don't just ask a question without knowing what you're asking, because you're asking what is the legal solution. There's only one definition for the word solution, and that is to end or satisfy a contract. Under every circumstance in government, every circumstance that we are contractually enslaved through debt or anything else, it's because somewhere, somehow, we are a straw man who has a contract as an artificial person, a 14th Amendment citizen.
The only thing I have to say, let my people go. I've got Chris back. He's in Las Vegas. By the way, Dave Ramsey.
Ramsey,
there
yes,
we
that's
go.
The one.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, thank you, John, and I apologize about the phone faux pas earlier, but I thought I'd shore up your argument that the 13th Amendment in context still explicitly exists within Article 1, Section 9, the last clause, and Article 1, Section 10, the first clause of the Constitution.
There it is. I think the 13th Amendment basically just, I think they wanted to get that just a little more clear, you know?
Yeah. 40 acres and a mule, brother. Yeah. They had to all make us United States citizens. And how do you do that? Well, you have a civil war. And most people don't even recognize the fact that we've been in many wars and many undeclared wars. We've been in our Vietnams and our Koreas. But the one war that most Americans died in was the Civil War. That's because we were fighting ourselves. The government was pitting brother against brother, all in the name of grabbing power and centralizing it. Hey, do me a favor, Chris, hang on if you got any further comment. We'll open up the phones, 800-313-9443. It's all so much fun, isn't it? Weeding through all of this stuff, trying to find out what the truth is. Well, we'll get there. Hopefully before we're all gray and dried up like little prunes and ready to shuffle off the mortal coil. I, for one, keep having this nagging suspicion that I think if enough people wake up to what is going on, I think we might be able to make a difference and turn the course of this nation. I don't know. Call me crazy, but I'm dedicated anyhow. Thank you, Clint. Clint just called me crazy. We'll be back after the top of the hour break. John Stepman.